The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on WMAL.
All the leaves are brown. All the leaves are brown. And the sky is gray.
Summer, summer, summer. I love summertime. I love not worrying about getting bundled up, throwing my shorts on, going in a golf shirt, and just going out for a walk around the neighborhood. I love not worrying about cold weather. But here we are. It's the start of September. It is the beginning of the next season. We're just a few weeks away from the mid-solstice pattern. I don't know about you, but I had a great time at the Totality. Went to Nashville, Tennessee about, I guess, maybe two and a half weeks ago to see Totality. Really enjoyed it. If you go to Eric Stewart Group on Facebook and like our page there, take a look. I have a short video. I videotaped the total eclipse of the sun, and it is stunning. It is amazing. So you got to see it. You'll get a good chuckle out of it as well. Again, at Facebook, Eric Stewart Group, like us there today. If you're traveling, there are six tips that I want to give you today to keep you from having a break-in in your house. You know, real estate is it's very important for you and I to manage our real estate effectively, and that is to protect ourselves from all the criminals who are out there who want to burglarize and steal from us. So number one, 34% of homes are broken into by where? The front door. Monitor when the door is open versus closed, okay? Different systems that you can put in, like the Ooma home security. They'll integrate with Nest via the Telo feature and some other things. There are very inexpensive ways for you to actually film the front door of your home all the time, just so you know who's coming and going. Good thing to consider. Number two, when a door closes, make sure a window doesn't open. See, 23% of break-ins occur through the first floor window. Use classic sash locks, folks, to keep your windows locked, and install wireless motion sensors on the doors and windows to be alerted if a window is opened. Number three, check your AC. A popular summertime burglary entry point, pushing in a window air conditioning unit. If you have one, install motion sensors near a window air conditioner unit. Number four, calling 911 remotely. Knowing someone is breaking into your house doesn't help if you're on a beach several hours away, right? So unless you have a way to call 911 to your home's local emergency dispatchers, and again, Ooma, O-O-M-A, has a remote 911 feature you may want to consider. Number five out of six, beware of sliding glass doors. Sliding doors are another popular entry point, as the locks are generally easy to pick. Installing even just a piece of wood, the old-timey piece of wood that you drop in on the back of a sliding glass door, will keep people from opening a sliding glass door. And then lastly, number six, integrate light timers or smart lights that you can control with your phone to make your home look lived in and deter break-ins. Think of it. You could actually integrate the timers with your phone so you could turn the lights on upstairs in your house from wherever you are in the world. Turn on this light, turn that one off, so there's motion in the house. It is about presenting the house as lived in even when you are not there. Okay? All right. If you want to get more information, go to Ooma.com. That's OOMA.com/home security. Home-security. There is something called poaching in real estate. Now, if you don't, you know what poaching is, when you're stealing animals off of somebody else's ranch, right? That's the same idea in real estate. So the Real Estate Commission has started a review of laws that apply to how agents are advertising listings, because what's occurring, and this is happening on my listings, where agents are actually presenting that they now have a listing, which is in fact my listing, and I have an exclusive right to sell the property. Like, for instance, you sign up with me, I'm your agent to represent you in the sale of your property. You would have my sign up, you'd have my brochures, you'd have my information online, all the virtual tours, everything that I offer you to sell your property. Great. If another agent were simply to gather that information and then on their website present your house as if it was their listing, that would be inappropriate because they do not have the right to advertise the property without giving me and Long & Foster credit for actually being your agents. So the problem there is that there really isn't a lot of, there's a lot of poaching going on because a lot of agents are borrowing other people's information and they're either not putting anybody's credit there, like that's an Eric Stewart listing, or they're putting it so small you can't even read it. It's really like just simply wrong. It's in a form of thievery to steal what somebody else has worked hard to list and then to present it as if it is actually yours to make you look like a bigger agent or like you are something that you're not. It's dishonest, right? So the commission is considering imposing a fine of up to $5,000 for the first violation of this, $15,000 for a second violation, and $25,000 for a third or subsequent violation. This is boiling down to two very simple concepts. Agents should not copy another's advertisement without permission from the listing broker, and the identity of the listing agent or brokerage from the original advertisement must be fully replicated in the copy. If you don't do it, you're not being kind. You're not following the golden rule. Even if it puts money in your pocket, you're taking it out of somebody else's, right? Have you heard recently about the thievery that's going on, the wiring thievery that's going on with real estate? Imagine this. You're a buyer. You get an email from a title company requesting that you would send them $1.7 million to settle the purchase of the property that you're buying. Now, you're the buyer of this property, and you're expecting to send that $1.7 million to the title company because, in fact, that's what's in the contract between you and your seller. But what happens and what has been happening is outgoing wires and incoming wires are being usurped by hackers. Okay? A title company here in Chevy Chase, D.C., was supposed to settle the sale of a property. The buyers wired $1,700,000 to what they thought was the title company, and it turns out that a hacker had breached into the servers of the title company and then was presenting themselves to this purchaser as the title company, but giving them an alternative bank and routing number. The funds were wired to the wrong place and disappeared. It's robbery, right? The buyers have sued that title company for two things. One is for negligence. They should have known better than they should have protected their servers better than they did from these wire fraud schemes. And they're even insinuating that there was collusion, that this title company had to know and maybe was involved and was getting some kickback, which there's no proof of that, but we'll see. You know, the courts will decide that. Hey, the key here and what I want to communicate to you is that sending out wiring, I don't care whether you're doing it for a title company or you're sending money to somebody, you want to make sure that you're encrypting email, that you're working through encrypted email and that you're verifying information. We recommend at the Eric Stewart Group that you not communicate by email unless it's encrypted. And even better is to bring your funds to the closing table. Okay. Make sure as a seller that you're bringing the instructions on where those funds are going to be wired with you to settlement. The title company will send it correctly to where you want it to go. Got to watch out these days. Well, Stewart joins me in just a moment. I'll be right back.